The BBC presents My Word. And here to introduce the program and the panel is Jack Longland.
My Word is a word game played by people whose business is words, and those taking part are Anne Scott James, Dennis Norden, Dillis Powell, and Frank Muir. And round one tries to test their vocabulary. We begin with Anne Scott James. Anne, what's the meaning of cedilla or cedilla?
Oh, Jack, vous êtes un beau garçon. French and similar languages, a C sounds soft naturally in front of E or I.
Yes.
But if you want to make it soft in front of A, O, or O, you have to put a twiggly thing like a collar upside down with its hair standing on end under the C.
Well done. Absolutely right. Two marks. It's a Spanish or in part Italian word, and it really means a little Z. But it looks, as Anne quite rightly says, like a comma upside down. And it means the C is pronounced softly and not like K. Frank Muir, what's meant by bumpologist or bumposopher?
Is it ologist in the sense of study of?
Yes.
Science of? Mm-hmm. Science of bumps?
Where?
What?
Where?
Are you offering me my choice? No, it can't. You mean it's a judge of the Miss World contest?
Definitely bumps in the wrong place.
It's not a phrenologist.
Yes.
That lovely Victorian thing that you tell a person's character things by the bumps in their heads.
Absolutely right. Two marks it is. These are human. Humorous terms for a phrenologist, the chap who attempts to tell your character and your capabilities by examining the protuberances on your skull, if any. To this part, what does cerecloth mean? C-E-R-E-C-L-O-T-H. Cerecloth.
I have a feeling that's rather a melancholy term.
It is.
Well, I think it's a cloth that you... I hate to mention this in such cheerful company, you wrap the body up in.
Absolutely dead right, two marks. It was used mainly for grave clothes, but it is cloth impregnated with wax and used as what used to be called a winding sheet. You could wear it as a Macintosh, though I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. Anyway, it's Dennis Norden's question now. What does Chris Elephantine mean?
Well, it's a kind of mausoleum. Chris, if I mistake me not, is gold.
Yes.
It's a Greek thing meaning gold.
Yep.
Elephantine means
ivory.
Elephantine.
Ivory.
Oh, it could be it, yes. It's ivory and gold used for the decoration of coffins.
Elephantine statue was used as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world.
Thank you very much, Anne. That's just what I wanted.
We need to get an extra mark.
They ought to. We get your two.
Sounds more like Greek false teeth.
Well, in a sense, it was.
A breach.
Because it was elephant ivory and elephant's teeth. Golden ivory, and they used to decorate their statues with it, and as Anne quite rightly says. Well, before we begin the second round, I read out a quotation for each team to write down, and I want the two women team members to study them, because at the end of the program I shall ask them where the quotations come from. So, Anne Scott James and Dennis, your quotation is, "Oh, the little more, and how much it is." And Dillis Powell and Frank, yours is, "When the hounds of spring are on winter's traces." And then in the last round of the program, I shall ask Dennis and Frank to give me their idea of how these came to be said or written. Next round is about the author of the week. I want you to identify the author first, and then I shall ask some further questions about author and works. Two marks are correct answers. Here's a quotation to help. That celebrated, cultivated, underrated nobleman, the Duke of Plaza Toro. Now, Anne Scott James, who is the author? And from which of his works does the quotation come?
Now, the author is W.S. Gilbert.
Yes.
And it comes from...
And the opera?
Let's try the gondoliers.
Yes, you're quite right. Hold on. Two marks, Sir William Schwenk Gilbert, the other half of Sullivan, and it's a chorus from a song in Act One of The Gondoliers. Now, Frank Muir. Oh, I am a cook and a captain bold, and the mate of the Nancy brig, and a bosun tight and a midship might, and the crew of the captain's gee.
What's the question?
In which of Gilbert's works will you find this, and why was the speaker all those characters put together?
This is this lyric, isn't it?
Yes.
Which goes on, and the figurehead was a girl in bed.
No, not quite.
I can't read your writing. Bab.
Yes.
Oh, Bab Ballads.
Bab Ballads, that's first
Bab
one.
Bab Ballads.
Can you remember why he was all those things at once?
He what?
He ate
everybody.
You're there between you. Two marks. The Bab Ballads, which is a collection of humorous and satirical verses, and this is the yarn on the Nancy Bell, and the chap who's speaking was identified with all these characters because he'd eaten the lot, cook and mate and midshipmite and all, after shipwreck. Two marks. Dennis Powell, my object all sublime, I shall achieve in time. What was the object? Who sang about it? And in which opera?
Mikado. It's a Mikado.
Yes. But what was he trying to do?
To make the punishment fit the crime.
That's
the punishment fit the crime and make it unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment.
I hope you're in good voice, Dennis, because it's coming our way.
Rupert Doylycart turns in his grave, but you get your two marks. Dennis Norton, when the Costa's finished jumping on his mother, he loves to lie a-basking in the sun. Which is the opera, and what's the moral of this particular song?
Nothing.
Oh, this is when an enterprising burglar's not a burglar.
That's right.
Yeah. It's when constabulary duties to be done.
To be done.
I'm not. It's too
we
easy.
We can sing too.
It's like mentioning Nelson when you're doing a concert at Portsmouth. It's the most easy way to wave.
It's a cheap laugh.
A policeman's lot, actually, in contemporary terms, a policeman's lot is not a hippie one.
This will do, except you haven't mentioned the actual opera.
The opera was The Pirates of Penzance.
Yes, all right. Two marks it is, well done. And it was the constabulary, very much afraid of pirates, who went on singing that a policeman's lot is not a happy one. Two marks. The next round tries to find the odd man out, and what I do is to give four book titles, or titles of poems or plays, of which three were written by the same author, and one wasn't. I want to know which is the odd one, and who the authors are, and again for two marks. Anne Scott James, The Pet Lamb, The Solitary Reaper, The Deserted Village, The River Duddon.
Solitary Reaper,
The
Deserted Village.
I don't know, Goldsmith's in there somewhere.
And what's the last one?
The River Duddon.
But I've only heard of The Deserted Village.
Goldsmith is in there with a chance.
Yeah.
Try that.
I think we count the Pet Lamb's the odd man out.
Are they minor poems of Wordsworth, the others?
Yes.
They are. So,
the deserted village, the brilliant.
By?
Goldsmith.
By Goldsmith.
Yes, I think you get that. Two marks. Frank Muir, Look Back in Anger, Goodbye to All That, Inadmissible Evidence, The Entertainer.
Goodbye to All That, which is a book. The others are plays.
Ah. Authors?
Well, the plays are written by John Osborne,
yes.
And the book was an autobiographical book, which caused a tremendous stir when it came out because it rather blew the gaff on the First World War and Robert Graves' public school.
That's right. Two marks and absolutely accurate answer. Dennis Powell, Tiger in the Smoke, The Five Red Herrings, The Nine Tailors, Murder Must Advertise.
Murder Must Advertise and The Nine Tailors is Dorothy Sayers.
Tiger and the Smoke, the Five...
Tiger and the Smoke is the one out.
Bye.
No,
Marjorie Anningham.
Between you, we've got there. Tiger in the Smoke is one of the best of Marjorie Anningham's detective novels, and the others are all detective novels by Dorothy Sayers. Dennis Norton, I, Robot, Rossum's Universal Robots, or R-U-R, Pebble in the Sky, Little Lost Robot.
Well, I, Robot, Pebble in the Sky, Little Lost Robot are by Isaac Asimov, R-U-R is by Carol Chapek.
Well done. Two marks. Rossum's Universal Robots, R-U-R, the Czech writer Carol Chapek, in fact, I think invented the term robot, which doesn't occur in literature before. And then, of course, it was taken up by lots of other people, and more particularly by Isaac Asimov, who has written series after series with robots in them. Well, now comes the round of initials and abbreviations. For two marks, I want to know what they stand for. M. Scott James, CR. Big C, little R, no dots.
Is it what they put on your bank account?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, credit.
All right, two marks. It's creditor. I suppose if your bank was lazy, it could stand for the black bits in your current account or credit. Thank you. Small letters. J.N.
Junior.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well,
come in sort of commuting from South London. You pass.
Jamming.
No.
Commuting from South London.
Yeah. No, outside.
You pass. Wait a minute. You pass Wimbledon.
Junction.
That's what I wanted.
Junction.
Junction it is. One and a half, a pretty strong hint, so Clapham Junction. Dennis Powell, N.P. Small letters, dots between them. N.P.
Not possible.
N.P. No postscript.
No.
Oh, N.P. New paragraph.
That'll do. Now Dennis Norton.
S.P.G.R.
S.P. and a dot, G.R. and a dot, all small letters.
Spoonful of gravy.
Radio
specific gravity.
That's it. That's what I wanted. Well done. Oh, well, now we come to the last round and go back to the quotations I gave the two teams earlier in the programme. For two marks, Anne Scott James, can you give me the origin of your quotation, Oh, the Little More and How Much It Is?
It's from a poet.
Yes, it's a poet.
That's good.
Had a wife.
Oh, I had a wife. Did he run away with her?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Robert Browning.
All right. It's Robert Browning's poem, By the Fireside. Well, now, Dennis Powell, the origin of your quotation, please. When the hounds of spring are on winter's traces.
It's by Swinburne.
Yep. Do you remember the poem?
Actually, it's Atalanta and Calzone.
That's what he did, right? You get two marks. Out. Well, now I shall ask Dennis and Frank to give me their peculiar explanations of how these quotations came into being. And for this round only, the marks will go to whichever improbable story gets the longer applause from the audience here in the theatre. So back to Dennis Norton and Oh, the Little More and How Much It Is.
Some time ago, Frank and I wrote a television series that turned out such a dismal failure that the Times reviewed it in the obituary column. The review that really hurt was the one that said, the trouble with Muir and Norden is that they've done so many chat programs, they're not writers at all anymore, they're just talkers. Well, Frank brooded about that all day. Suppose it's true, he said. You know what it means? It means my name will never go down to posterity. He's got a big thing about posterity, Frank. He wants to be there when it happens. When I go, he said to me, I want to be remembered. Well, I'll remember you. I'm a big fellow with a moustache. Swiped my ballpoint pen. That's not satisfying enough, Frank said. When you describe somebody as just talkers, how many talkers get remembered by posterity? Yes, Dr. Johnson, perhaps. But he had Boswell. Boswell followed Dr. Johnson about everywhere with a notebook. Well, now, he says, why can't we do that? Well, I said, I think he's dead. We could ring up the British Medical Association, ask if they've got a Dr. Johnson still practicing. He said, no. You don't get it, he said. What about Norden's Life of Muir? Done in exactly the same way. What about that? When do we start? Well, said Frank, can you give me one reason why we can't start this very minute? Yes, I said, I can. He said, what? I said, I haven't got a notebook. Sir, said Frank, you could tell he was already sort of living it, you see. You will need more than one notebook. 5 volumes at, say, 300 pages per volume. He did a little rapid calculation. You will need 870 notebooks. Well, we were round to that office stationer's in Maddox Street within about 5 minutes. Frank asked for the manager. Sir, he said, not only living it now, but loving it. Sir, he said, I am Frank Muir, and this, indicating me, is my biographer. I'll do, said the manager. A little nervously, I thought. He said, what can I do for you? I said, do you stock those threepenny notebooks with a spiraled wire going down the spine? Certainly, the manager said, yes, yes, I'll get you one. Sir, said Frank, 870. Well, we had to hang about a bit while they sent for reinforcements from the main warehouse at Ladbroke Grove. But they were kind enough to stack all the notebooks into one of those big wooden packing crates. So we sauntered back along Regent Street. Well, he sauntered. I tottered a bit. And so agreeable and clement was the autumnal sunshine that Frank was moved to make an observation. Sir, he observed, the new cars always come out in the autumn. That is why they are called automobiles. Unfortunately, the blood was pounding so hard in my ears, I didn't actually hear him. Do what? I said. He said, write it down. I said, okay. And he repeated it yet again, and I slowly wrote it down in the notebook. It was while I was writing it down, this old lady tugged at my sleeve. Excuse me, constable, she said. What are you charging this man with? Now, it must have been while I was explaining to her that I wasn't a policeman and I was a biographer who was just starting on the first page of a 5-volume biography, it must have been I was doing that somebody swiped the packing case. So that is why the publication of the much-heralded Norden's Life of Muir will now be a little delayed. All I have of it so far is just one single Muir observation and a bill for £26.10 being 870 notebooks at threepence each. So you can understand how I'm in sympathy with Browning's remark, oh, what little Muir, and oh, how much it is.
Well, I very much hope it won't be too long delayed. We shall all be waiting for this. Well, now we go back to Frank Muir himself, and if you remember, his quotation was, when the hounds of spring are on winter's traces.
The other day, a man said to me, may I have a word with you?
And I said, sir, a whole dictionary. It was my biographer, Norden, who was on. And he said, you haven't given me anything to write, and I've got all these notebooks. Hasn't anything interesting happened? And I said, well, no, not much interesting has happened, Norden. But something interesting is soon going to happen. My Afghan hound is soon going to be financially independent. Now, I expected him to be taken aback by this. But he wasn't taken aback, which is an affront. Then I realized that Norden is not a doggy chap. And if you talk about animals to Norden, good biographer though he may be, it goes in one ear and out the other, like water down the duck's back. One day, my wife said to me, we were hoping to keep it a secret. The dogs wanted me to keep it a secret from you. But Kassa is going to have puppies. I said, my hound going to have puppies? She said, yes. And my eyes were bright. She said, oh, come on, I don't like to see a man crying. But I said, the food, she'll be eating for four. She said, they normally have eight. The food bill's already like a wedding reception bill every month. Eight puppies. She said, yes. And then last week I was in Manchester recording a show, and I ran into a comedian. Do you know the comedians Mike and Bernie Winter? Well, it was Bernie Winter. He was the slightly stouter one who wears his teeth in a fringe. And I ran into Bernie, who was also up there, and we had a few hours to spare, and we were just outside one of those self-help cafes, you know, which have notices all over the place. Do not leave without paying. Do not leave your cups on the table if they're dirty. Do not take too much sugar. So I said to Bernie, let's go into the cafe and have a cup of coffee and a do not. And we went. I think it always helps, you know, when you're talking to a comedian to lighten his load. And we went in. I said, he said, what are you doing? And I said, I've got a few hours spare. I'm just wandering around. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm going around antique shops and places because I'm a bit of a collector on the side. So I said, what do you collect? And he said, braces. I said, what? He said, well, I use them in the act. You know, when I put my thumbs in and sort of pull them out and a certain part of the act. He said, and I collect very sort of unusual ones because I can use them in the act. So I said, what have you got? He said, I've got the red ones with the hunt going across them. And I said, have you got dogs? So he said, yes. He said, I've got the usual, you know, the Pekingese, the faces of the Pekingese. And suddenly, an illuminating flash, I said, Bernie, how would this grab you? How about a pair of braces with the portraits of eight puppies on, four per brace, embroidered with hairs which have fallen off the puppies themselves. He said, I don't care how much money I pay, money's no object. I said, it is to me. I said, I quite agree. I said, right. He said, when can I have it? I said, you can have it, in a month or two's time. He said, fine, we shook hands. And that's why I said to my biographer, Norden, I said, the best thing that's happened to me is very soon, I said, my Afghan will be financially independent, will make me financially independent. And he said, well, when will that be? When? I said, when? I'll tell you, sir. Sir, when the hound's offspring are on winter's braces.
Well, by your vote, ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Norden wins the contest of the two stories, and he and his partner, Anne Scott James, also win the entire contest. And that brings to an end this edition of My Word.
In My Word, you heard Dillis Powell, Anne Scott James, Frank Muir and Dennis Norden, introduced by Jack Longland, who also compiled the questions. The programme was devised by Tony Schryan and Edward J. Mason and presented by the BBC.